Psychology of Money, Proven Saving and Investing to Master Wealth Habits, Develop Financial Discipline, and Understand Financial Behavior for Wealth Creation. Introduction. Let me take you back to when I stared at my bank statement and felt like I was trying to read hieroglyphics. Nothing made sense, and I was pretty sure my money had vanished into some black hole of impulsive buys and late-night takeout. One day, I found myself in the self-help section of a bookstore, clutching a latte and a book on financial psychology. There it was, a revelation, the realization that my financial decisions weren't just numbers and spreadsheets but a tangled web of emotions and habits. This book is about that web, the messy, fascinating relationship between psychology and money. How our minds work profoundly shapes how we manage, spend, and think about wealth. Understanding this relationship can transform how you save, invest, and build financial security. So, what is financial psychology? It studies how our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors influence economic decisions. Imagine you're stressed and suddenly want to buy something you don't need. Emotional spending is a psychological habit that can derail your financial goals. Or consider cognitive biases, like the overconfidence that convinces you to invest in a sure thing without doing the research. These are just a few examples of how psychology shapes our financial lives. You might wonder how this book differs from other financial guides. While most books focus on technical advice, think budgets, spreadsheets, and interest rates, this one digs deeper. It explores the psychological factors that drive those numbers, offering insights into why you do what you do with your money. And yes, it pairs these insights with practical strategies. Knowing why you overspend is excellent, but knowing how to stop is even better. Throughout this book, we'll cover key themes like the power of compounding. Think of it as money's version of a snowball rolling downhill, gathering mass and momentum. We'll also dive into the importance of emotional intelligence in finance and tackle financial biases, those sneaky little tricks our brains play on us that can lead to poor financial decisions. If you're interested in personal finance and want to improve your financial habits, this book is for you. Maybe you're tired of the same old advice that doesn't quite stick or want to understand the why behind your money moves. Whatever your reasons, these insights directly address your challenges and aspirations. The book is structured to help you understand your financial mindset and implement practical strategies for wealth creation. We'll start by exploring how your mind works around money, then move into actionable steps you can take to achieve financial freedom. Think of it as a logical flow, like a well-planned road trip where each stop takes you closer to your destination. Now, here's where you come in. I invite you to join me on this journey of financial self-discovery and transformation. Let's dismantle the psychological barriers that hold you back and build a path toward financial success. Picture yourself gaining control over your financial future, empowered by the insights and strategies shared in this book. The key takeaway? You're about to embark on a transformative journey. This book is your guide to unlocking the psychology of money and using it to achieve lasting financial success. So, grab your favorite beverage, find a cozy spot, and get ready to dive in. Your financial future is waiting. Understanding financial behavior. Ever find yourself wondering why your wallet seems to have a mind of its own, a mind that conspires to empty itself at the first whiff of a new gadget or a sale at your favorite store? It's like your finances have their little personality quirks, shaped by a lifetime of experiences and influences. Consider this: when I was a kid, my piggy bank had a tragic accident, gravity was involved, spilling my entire fortune of $12.37 across the room. I learned two things that day: don't put the piggy bank on a high shelf, and my financial security was as fragile as that porcelain pig. That early lesson stuck with me, subtly influencing how I viewed money for years. But why does this happen? Welcome to the fascinating world of money mindsets, where psychology meets finance in a battle for your bank balance. This chapter is about uncovering those hidden thoughts and feelings that guide financial decisions. Spoiler, it's not all about the numbers. Let's explore how your upbringing, cultural narratives, and socioeconomic background shape your thoughts about money. The mindset behind money. Money mindsets begin forming when you first hear, "Money doesn't grow on trees." These are crafted from the financial lessons taught at home, the stories told by society, and the silent messages passed down by our cultural heritage. For some, growing up in a household where every penny felt like part of a grand heist taught them to safeguard and hoard money, treating it as a rare treasure that must be protected at all costs. This environment can plant the seed of a scarcity mindset, where the fear of running out trumps the thrill of abundance. It's a mindset that says, save every dollar, but forgets to mention, invest for growth. Conversely, imagine being raised in a family that never seemed to worry about bills, where vacations were spontaneous, and the latest gadgets were commonplace. Here, the abundance mindset takes root, where the belief that there's always more where that came from encourages risk-taking and financial optimism. It fosters confidence that the universe will provide, but sometimes, it forgets to issue a reality check about savings. Then, some grow up in middle ground scenarios, leading to balanced perspectives, or occasionally, a bit of financial confusion. Cultural narratives also play a hefty role in shaping money mindsets. These are the stories society tells us about wealth and poverty, success and failure. In some cultures, people equate wealth with success, tying their self-worth to their net worth. In others, they see money as a necessary evil, something to manage but not flaunt. These narratives influence whether we view money as a tool for freedom or a burden to bear. They shape our aspirations, determining whether we see ourselves as potential millionaires or perpetual penny pinchers. Let's not overlook the impact of socioeconomic status, which can mold our financial perspectives like a potter with clay. Growing up in a financially secure environment often provides a safety net, encouraging future economic risks and investments. In contrast, those from less privileged backgrounds might carry a deep-rooted sense of financial insecurity into adulthood, affecting everything from spending habits to career choices. These early experiences create a framework for our economic behavior, influencing how we handle money. What types of money mindsets do we carry around like invisible backpacks? There's the scarcity mindset, which hoards and conserves, often driven by fear of lack. The friend insists on saving every coupon and never splurging, even when the bank account is healthy. Conversely, the abundance mindset believes in plenty, often leading to generosity and sometimes impulsive spending. The person treats everyone to coffee, believing good karma will replenish their funds. Then, there's the dichotomy of risk preferences. Are you risk-averse, carefully considering every expenditure, or do you embrace risk, betting on potential high returns? Some people find comfort in the predictable, preferring savings accounts over stock markets. Others thrive on the thrill of investments and entrepreneurship. This behavior significantly influences financial decisions, affecting how and where money is allocated. Of course, some people are driven by security, focusing on stability and long-term planning. They're the ones with retirement accounts set up before their first job. Others seek freedom, preferring to keep options and money fluid, ready to seize opportunities. This mindset influences how they save, spend, and invest, often determining whether they prioritize a stable job or chase entrepreneurial dreams. Transforming these mindsets involves cognitive gymnastics. Cognitive reframing, a technique borrowed from therapy, can help shift these perspectives. It's about changing the narrative from I can't afford this to how can I afford this? Developing a growth mindset in financial contexts encourages seeing challenges as opportunities, not roadblocks. Practical exercises like setting small financial goals or tracking progress can reinforce positive changes. To shift from a scarcity to an abundance mindset, you might start by acknowledging the opportunities around you. Maybe it's recognizing the potential for additional income streams or simply appreciating what you already have. For risk-averse people, try dipping a toe into new financial waters. A small investment or a side hustle could open up new possibilities. It's about building confidence gradually. Ultimately, understanding your money mindset isn't just about numbers, it's a journey of self-discovery. It's about recognizing where these beliefs come from and deciding how you want them to shape your financial future. Whether you're a saver, spender, risk-taker, or security seeker, embracing your mindset's strengths and challenging its limitations can lead to a healthier relationship with money. So, are you ready to uncover the psychological forces driving your financial decisions? Let's dive in. Emotional triggers and financial decisions. Picture this: it's been a long week, work has been relentless, and as you finally settle into the comfort of your couch, you find yourself scrolling through your favorite online store. Suddenly, an irresistible offer appears. Your brain lights up like a holiday tree. Before you know it, you've clicked buy now. This is stress, my friends, weaving its mischievous spell over your wallet. Stress can transform the most disciplined saver into an impulse shopper extraordinaire. Your brain plays a cruel trick, convincing you that spending will soothe your frazzled nerves. Spoiler alert, it rarely does. Then there's the infamous FOMO, the fear of missing out. We've all been there, watching as everyone around us seems to strike gold with the latest investment trend. Suddenly, your inner voice whispers, "You need to get in on this, or you'll regret it forever." This fear can lead to hasty decisions, like throwing your hard-earned cash into the next big thing without much research. It's like jumping onto a speeding train without knowing where it's headed. You know you should check the destination first, but FOMO has you convinced the ride will be worth it. Let's not forget the roller coaster of emotions that govern our spending when we're sad or ecstatic. A breakup might make you splurge on a new wardrobe because nothing mends a broken heart like retail therapy, right? Conversely, a promotion might see you celebrating by buying that expensive gadget you've been eyeing. Your emotions take the wheel, driving your spending habits toward a detour you didn't plan for. Emotions, whether high or low, can significantly steer your financial choices, sometimes into rocky terrain. While emotions can drive us to make questionable financial decisions, they aren't all bad news. Emotions can also play a positive role in economic behavior. Emotional resilience, for example, is like having a financial safety net. It allows you to bounce back from setbacks, whether a market downturn or an unexpected bill. It's the ability to stay calm and collected, to see the bigger picture, and not let a temporary dip derail your long-term plans. Happiness, too, plays a role. People often spend more when they're happy, feeling generous and open-handed. While this can be positive, balancing it with wisdom is crucial to avoid emptying the coffers. So, how do we manage these emotional triggers and prevent them from wreaking havoc on our finances? Mindfulness can be a powerful ally. Taking a moment to pause and breathe before making financial decisions can help. It's about being present, recognizing the impulse, and asking yourself, "Do I really need this, or am I just trying to fill an emotional gap?" Setting emotional spending boundaries is also vital. Think of it as establishing rules for your spending behavior. Maybe it's a cooling-off period before major purchases or limiting impulse buys to a fixed monthly amount. Journaling can offer insights into your spending patterns. Track what you buy and note your emotional state. Over time, patterns will emerge, revealing how your feelings influence your wallet. This awareness can be the first step toward making more intentional financial choices. It's like shining a light on those shadowy corners of your financial habits, giving you the power to change them. Consider the story of a friend who found themselves indulging in impulse buys every time work stress peaked. They realized this pattern and decided to channel their anxiety into something less costly, like jogging or cooking. Over time, not only did their wallet thank them, but their stress levels improved, too. Or the tale of someone who overcame the emotional pull of risky investments by employing emotional intelligence, seeking advice, weighing options, and making informed decisions. They learned to separate emotion from logic, turning potential mistakes into informed choices. These stories highlight the nuanced dance between emotions and finances. Understanding this interplay allows you to navigate it gracefully, minimizing the negative and maximizing the positive. Emotions are part of what makes us human, and they will always influence our decisions. The key is to let them inform, not dictate, your financial choices. So, the next time stress, FOMO, or any other emotion tries to hijack your financial decisions, take a moment to pause and reflect. You might find that you're more in control than you thought. Behavioral economics and personal finance. Picture this: you're at a car dealership, and the salesperson throws out a price that makes your heart skip a beat, but not in a good way. You haggle, sweat, and eventually, you walk away with a car slightly above your budget, but hey, you got a deal. What just happened? Meet anchoring bias, your wallet's sneaky nemesis. That little voice clings to the first number thrown at you, making it hard to shake off. Cognitive biases like these are the invisible puppeteers pulling the strings behind our financial decisions. They're as sneaky as a cat on a countertop, affecting us without realizing it. Cognitive biases are mental shortcuts that help us make decisions quickly but not always accurately. They influence how we perceive and process information, often leading us astray. When it comes to money, these biases can wreak havoc. Take confirmation bias, for instance. It's like having a cheerleader in your head that only roots for the information you already believe. If you think a particular stock is the next big thing, confirmation bias will have you ignoring all the red flags and clinging to that optimistic article you found online. Then there's the availability heuristic, where your brain decides what's easiest to recall, which must be the truth. Remember that story about your neighbor hitting the jackpot with Bitcoin? Suddenly, cryptocurrency investment seems like a surefire win, even though logic might say otherwise. Let's dive into common biases that often lead to financial missteps. First up is overconfidence bias. It's like having a financial superhero complex, where you're convinced you can predict market movements better than seasoned analysts. Spoiler, you probably can't. This bias can lead to taking excessive risks or failing to diversify your portfolio, putting all your investments in one metaphorical basket. Then there's loss aversion, the fear of losing money that can make you cling to your savings account like a kid to a security blanket while missing out on potential investment gains. Lastly, we have status quo bias, which is the tendency to stick with what you know, even if it's not working. It's why you might still have that ancient savings account with barely there interest rates rather than exploring better options. These biases can lead to better financial outcomes. Take loss aversion, for example. It might protect you from losses but also mean missing out on gains. It's like refusing to leave the pool's shallow end, where you're safe but not having much fun. Then, there is confidence, which can lead to inefficient portfolios where risk isn't adequately managed. You might end up with investments that look more like a risky roller coaster than a stable path to financial security. Recognizing these biases is crucial because they can steer us off course as that GPS that insists you turn left into a lake. So, how do you combat these sneaky biases? One way is to implement decision checklists. Think of them as your financial grocery list, ensuring you don't end up with a cart full of cookies when you are meant to buy broccoli. Checklists help you stay focused and make decisions based on logic rather than impulse. Another strategy is to seek diverse perspectives. In other words, feel free to ask for directions when you're lost in the financial woods. Consulting with friends, family, or professionals can provide new insights and challenge your biases. Regularly reviewing your financial decisions is also crucial. It's like a financial health checkup, helping you spot any biases that have crept in and correcting your course before it's too late. Interactive element, bias busting checklist. Creating your bias busting checklist can be a game changer. Here's a simple one to start with. 1. Identify the bias, recognize which cognitive bias might be influencing your decision. Is it overconfidence? Loss aversion? 2. Gather information, research the decision from multiple sources. Look for evidence that challenges your initial beliefs. 3. Consult others, talk to someone whose opinion you trust. They might see things you don't. 4. Review regularly, set a date to revisit your decision. Is it still working for you? If not, adjust. Keep this checklist handy whenever you face a financial issue. It's a tool to help you think clearly, like a flashlight cutting through the fog of biases. Understanding and acknowledging cognitive biases is the first step in making more rational financial decisions. They're not going away, but with awareness and the right strategies, you can prevent them from leading you astray. So, next time you're at the dealership contemplating a new investment, remember these biases and take a moment to think twice. The role of behavioral economics in investment strategy. Imagine stepping into the bustling world of Wall Street, where numbers fly by faster than a caffeine-fueled day trader. But beneath the chaos lies a fascinating interplay of psychology and economics. That's where behavioral economics comes in. It's the science of understanding how our quirky human nature affects financial markets. Take prospect theory, for instance. As Amos Tversky and Daniel Kahneman proposed, we value losses and gains differently. In plain English, losing $100 feels worse than finding $100 feels good. This theory can make you more cautious when markets tumble, but a bit too reckless when they rise, impacting your risk assessments and investment decisions. Then there's mental accounting, like having separate piggy banks in your brain. You might treat money from a tax refund differently than your regular paycheck, even though it's all money you own. This can lead to questionable financial decisions, like splurging that refund on a fancy dinner instead of paying off debt. Understanding these principles helps you see why you might act irrationally with investments, like buying high and selling low, instead of following the golden rule of stock markets. In the real world, these principles play out in fascinating ways. Herd behavior is a biggie. Picture this: everyone around you is investing in tech stocks, so you jump in, too, fearing you'll miss out. This is how bubbles form, as seen in the infamous dot-com bubble. Then there's the endowment effect, which makes you overvalue what you already own. You might hold on to a losing stock because you believe it'll bounce back, or you're too attached to part ways. These behaviors can lead to portfolios that are more about emotional attachment than a wise investment strategy. But fear not, because innovative strategies are here to save the day. Behavioral portfolio theory suggests that instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, you create multiple baskets based on various goals and risk tolerances. It's like having a diversified buffet of investments tailored to your financial needs and emotional comfort. And let's talk about nudges, those subtle pushes that help you make better financial choices without being heavy-handed. Imagine a financial app gently reminding you to save more each month, turning a daunting task into a manageable habit. These nudges can encourage long-term investment by making the path of least resistance the most beneficial one. Consider a case study on framing effects in investor behavior. A financial institution might present an investment opportunity with a 90% chance of success rather than a 10% chance of failure. Though mathematically identical, the former sounds more appealing, illustrating how presentation affects decision-making. Or take a real-life example of a bank using nudges to boost savings rates. They might automatically enroll you in a savings plan, knowing that inertia will keep you there. By making saving the default option, they harness our natural tendency to stick with the status quo. These strategies highlight how understanding behavioral economics can transform your investment approach. It's about recognizing that we're all a bit irrational sometimes and using that knowledge to make smarter, more informed decisions. Integrating these insights into your financial life allows you to navigate the unpredictable world of investments more confidently and with much less stress. As we wrap up this chapter, it's clear that behavioral economics offers valuable insights into how we think and act with our money. From understanding our aversion to loss to employing nudges that guide us toward better decisions, these concepts are not just academic, they're practical tools for smarter investing. With this groundwork laid, it's time to move on and explore how the power of compounding can further enhance your financial journey. The power of compounding. Imagine a snowball rolling down a hill, starting as a tiny, innocent ball of fluff and transforming into a giant, unstoppable force of nature. That, my friends, is the essence of compounding. It's like a financial magic trick, where your money does the heavy lifting, growing quietly in the background. At the same time, you focus on more important things, like deciding whether pineapple belongs on pizza. Spoiler, it does. Let's understand how compounding works magic on your finances, turning your modest investments into financial behemoths. The fundamental principle of compounding is that you earn returns not just on your initial investment, but also on the accumulated returns over time. It's like a snowball effect, where each layer of snow adds more mass, enabling even more snow to stick. Unlike simple interest, which only pays you on your original sum, compound interest involves earning interest on the interest. Imagine investing $1,000 at a 5% annual interest rate. With simple interest, you'd earn $50 each year. But with compound interest, your earnings would grow each year as you earn interest on your growing balance. This exponential growth over time makes compounding a powerful tool for building wealth. Time is the secret ingredient in the compounding recipe. The earlier you start, the more opportunities your money will have to grow. Consider the classic tale of two friends, Alice and Bob. Alice starts investing $200 a month at age 25, while Bob procrastinates until he's 35. By the time they both hit 65, Alice's investment will have grown significantly more than Bob's, thanks to those extra 10 years of compounding. It's like planting a tree, the sooner you plant it, the longer it must grow and bear fruit. Delay those initial contributions, and you'll miss out on the juicy rewards that come with time. Compounding is open about where it works its magic. Whether it's stocks or bonds, retirement accounts, or mutual funds, compounding finds a way to thrive. With their potential for higher returns, stocks can supercharge your compounding journey, albeit with more risk. On the other hand, bonds offer more stability but slower growth. Like your trusty 401k, retirement accounts are the perfect stage for compounding to shine. By contributing regularly and taking advantage of employer matches, you're setting the stage for compound growth to work wonders over the decades, turning your twilight years into a golden era of financial freedom. Real-life stories show the transformative power of compounding. The story of Grace Groner, $180 to $7 million. Background: Grace Groner was a secretary at Abbott Laboratories who made a modest salary. In 1935, she bought just 3 shares of Abbott stock for $60 each, totaling $180. Compounding in action, Grace held onto her investment and reinvested the dividends for over 70 years. By her passing in 2010, her investment had grown to around $7 million. She bequeathed this amount to her alma mater, Lake Forest College, creating a scholarship fund that continues to benefit students. Takeaway: this story demonstrates that starting early and allowing investments to grow can lead to an unexpectedly large fortune, even with a small initial investment. Consider the real-life story, the coffee habit: $5 a day turns into over $500,000. Background: many people spend money on small daily luxuries like coffee, which seems harmless. But what if you invested that $5 each day instead? Compounding in action: if someone saves $5 daily and invests it in a retirement account with an annual return of around 7%, a reasonable average for the stock market, they would have over $500,000 after 40 years. Takeaway: small, consistent contributions can grow substantially over time, showcasing the pay-yourself-first principle. Consider the story of Warren Buffett's snowball effect, starting early and staying invested. Background: Warren Buffett, one of the world's most famous investors, began investing at age 11. By the time he was in his 30s, he had accumulated a modest amount, but his fortune didn't balloon until later in life, thanks to decades of compounding. Compounding in action: about 99% of Buffett's wealth came after he turned 50. His net worth, now over $100 billion, is mainly due to the power of compounding over a long period. Takeaway: Buffett's story illustrates the exponential nature of compounding. Starting young, staying invested, and letting wealth grow can lead to unimaginable growth over decades. Another great story is the double a penny every day scenario. Background: a famous example of compounding is when you double a penny daily for a month. Compounding in action: by May 30th, this tiny penny will grow to over $5 million. While hypothetical, it highlights how quickly small amounts can grow under compounding. Takeaway: even small investments or savings can transform into life-changing sums if doubled consistently or steadily compounded. That's a story anyone can do with various amounts. The Roth IRA growth: consistent contributions over 30 years. Background: a young professional opens a Roth IRA at age 25 and contributes a maximum limit of $6,500 annually, increased over time for inflation. Compounding in action: assuming an average return of 8%, their Roth IRA would grow to nearly $1 million by retirement at age 65, with only about $260,000 in actual contributions. Takeaway: this story shows that consistent contributions to tax-advantaged accounts, even with moderate returns, can produce significant retirement funds over time. To truly grasp the impact of compounding, visualize it with a simple chart. Picture two lines, one representing simple interest and the other compound interest. As the years pass, the compound interest line starts to curve upward, outpacing the straight line of simple interest by leaps and bounds. This graphical representation highlights the exponential nature of compounding, underscoring why starting early and staying consistent can turn your financial dreams into reality. Anyone can replicate it by committing to regular contributions and letting time do the rest. Whether you're an early bird or just starting to invest, compounding can be your financial ally. It's not about having an average initial sum, but about making consistent contributions and giving them time to grow. think of it as a long-term relationship with your money that gets better and more rewarding the longer you stick with it. So, plant those seeds, nurture them with time, and watch as the miracle of compounding transforms your financial landscape. Compounding in personal habits and growth. If you've ever tried to learn a new language or pick up a musical instrument, you know it's not about cramming for a week and suddenly becoming fluent or a rock star. The small, consistent efforts add up over time, much like compounding in finance. The same principle applies to personal growth. Imagine those little daily actions as tiny deposits into your personal development bank account, yielding significant returns over time. Take health, for instance. Incorporating a 10-minute walk into your daily routine might seem insignificant, but over a year, that's more than 60 hours of exercise. This accumulation of effort leads to improved cardiovascular health, increased energy levels, and even weight loss, without needing a drastic lifestyle change. Think about learning a new skill, like playing the guitar. You won't be strumming Stairway to Heaven after your first lesson. But dedicate 20 minutes each day, soon, your fingers will move confidently across the fretboard. Each session builds on the last, compounding your knowledge. Over weeks and months, the notes come together to form melodies, and before you know it, you're playing songs that once seemed impossible. This incremental progress, which initially feels slow, suddenly clicks into a cascade of competence. It's the power of compounded learning, turning tiny efforts into substantial skills. Consistency is the secret sauce of habit formation. It's not about Herculean efforts, but about showing up daily, even just for a few minutes. Whether writing, exercising, or meditating, regularity breeds familiarity, leading to mastery. One effective strategy is habit stacking, where you attach a new habit to an existing one. Say you want to start meditating. Pair it with your morning coffee, sit quietly before enjoying your first sip. Over time, this new behavior becomes as automatic as brushing your teeth. Stacking habits in this way creates a chain reaction of positive change, transforming your daily routine into a launchpad for growth. The beauty of compounded habits is their ripple effect. They don't just improve the area you're focusing on, they spill over into other aspects of your life. Improved productivity at work, thanks to better focus from regular meditation, can lead to career advancement. Consistent exercise boosts your mood and energy, enhancing personal and professional relationships. It's like adding a bit of spice to a dish, not only does it improve the flavor, but it also elevates the entire meal. Compounded habits create a positive feedback loop, where one good habit reinforces another, increasing growth rather than linear. Consider the story of Sarah, who began a daily meditation practice to manage stress. Initially, it was just about finding calm amidst the chaos. Sarah noticed a shift in her overall well-being. Her ability to focus improved, leading to greater productivity at work. This success encouraged her to tackle other areas, like fitness and nutrition, creating a snowball effect of positive change. Another example is Tom, an aspiring writer committed to writing just 500 words daily. At first, it seemed like a daunting task. But as the days turned into weeks, those words added up, culminating in a completed novel. Tom's small, consistent efforts honed his writing skills and instilled a sense of discipline that permeated other areas of his life. These stories illustrate how small, consistent actions can lead to significant personal transformations. Compounding isn't just a financial phenomenon, it's a universal principle that applies to every area of life. Whether health, learning, or personal growth, the key is to start small, stay consistent, and watch those efforts multiply over time, leading to results that once seemed out of reach. The power of compounding in personal habits is a testament to the idea that it's not about doing a lot at once, but about doing a little every day. By now, it's clear that compounding is a force to be reckoned with, whether in building wealth or nurturing personal growth. With this understanding, let's explore how mastering financial literacy can further amplify your potential for success. Financial literacy for the modern age. Imagine sitting in a meeting where everyone's tossing around terms like liquidity and diversification as if discussing the weather. You nod along, pretending you get it, when you wonder if liquidity has something to do with the water cooler. Don't worry, you're not alone. Financial jargon can feel like a foreign language, with its confusing dialect. But fear not. We're here to decode this cryptic lingo and explore how understanding these terms can transform your financial decisions from guessing games into confident choices. Let's start with liquidity, which sounds like a fancy way to describe a milkshake, but refers to how easily you can convert assets into cash. Imagine your savings account as a trusty bicycle, quick, easy, and always ready to roll. In contrast, your house is more like a cruise ship. It's valuable but takes time and effort to get moving. Similarly, diversification isn't about trying every flavor at the ice cream shop. It's about spreading your investments across different assets to reduce risk, just like not putting all your eggs in one basket. Then there's asset allocation, a term that sounds like something a financial wizard might conjure. It's simply the strategy of deciding how to distribute your investments among various categories, like stocks, bonds, and cash, to balance risk and reward. Now, let's tackle the psychological barriers that make financial jargon an intimidating beast. You might feel like you're wading through a swamp of acronyms and numbers, and that's understandable. Many people experience anxiety when faced with complex financial terms. It's like being back in math class, where you're expected to solve equations in front of the whole class. This fear of inadequacy can lead to cognitive overload, where your brain feels like juggling too many balls simultaneously. According to a study, over half of adults have made investment mistakes due to confusion or misunderstanding financial terms. Let's face it, even the most seasoned investors have been there and done that. So, how do you conquer this jargon jungle and emerge victorious? Start with flashcards and memory techniques. Create a set of cards with financial terms on one side and their definitions on the other. Quiz yourself or rope in a friend for a fun study session. Interactive quizzes can also be a game changer. Imagine an online quiz that challenges you to match terms with their meanings, like a financial version of a trivia night. This interactive approach reinforces memory and makes learning feel less like a chore. Understanding financial terms isn't just about impressing your coworkers with fancy vocabulary. It can enhance your decision-making in real-world scenarios. Imagine assessing your liquidity during an emergency. Knowing how quickly you can access your funds will make you feel more prepared and less panicked. Take diversification, for example. By spreading your investments, you minimize the impact of any asset's poor performance. Consider a case study where an individual who relied heavily on tech stocks only faced a market downturn. Diversification could have cushioned the blow, showing the importance of spreading the risk. Interactive element, financial vocabulary flashcards. Create your own set of financial vocabulary flashcards. On one side, write the term, e.g., liquidity, and on the other, the definition and a simple analogy, e.g., how quickly you can get cash, like a bicycle ready to roll. Test yourself regularly to reinforce your understanding and build confidence. Mastering financial jargon is like learning the secret handshake of personal finance. It empowers you to make informed decisions, confidently approach money matters, and sidestep the pitfalls of misunderstanding. As you get comfortable with these terms, you'll find that what once seemed overwhelming is a manageable part of your financial toolkit. So, next time someone throws around a term like asset allocation, you'll be ready to join the conversation with confidence, not confusion. Building blocks of financial literacy. Imagine baking a cake without knowing the difference between flour and sugar. That's what managing money without financial literacy feels like. Without a grasp of the basics, your financial plans might collapse faster than a souffle in a thunderstorm. Let's start with one of the most crucial ingredients, budgeting. Think of a budget as your financial GPS. It tells you where you are, where you're going, and how to avoid those tempting detours that lead to the land of overdraft. By setting clear limits on your spending, you gain control and freedom all at once. Plus, there's a psychological benefit. Budgeting can reduce financial anxiety, giving you peace of mind that you're not just throwing money into the void. Credit scores, those mysterious numbers that seem to wield immense power over our financial lives, are another cornerstone of financial literacy. Your credit score is like a financial report card. It reflects how well you manage credit and tells lenders whether you're a responsible borrower. A good score can save money on loans and open doors to better financial opportunities. It's like getting an A+ in adulting. However, understanding how to maintain or improve your score involves more than paying bills on time. It's about knowing the impact of credit utilization, the length of your credit history, and the mix of credit types. A little knowledge here can make a big difference in your financial health. Understanding these core concepts doesn't just make you feel more intelligent, it influences your financial behavior. Knowing your budget inside and out makes you less likely to make impulsive purchases. It's like having a superpower that stops you from buying that third pair of sneakers. Financial literacy boosts self-efficacy, believing you can manage your finances effectively. With this confidence, you're more likely to stick to your financial goals and less likely to panic when faced with financial decisions. Studies show that people with higher financial literacy experience less stress about money. It's like having a financial zen garden in your mind. Creating a personal financial plan is the next step. It's like building a blueprint for your financial future, except you don't need a degree in architecture to get it right. Start by setting realistic financial goals. Maybe you want to save for a vacation, pay off student loans, or buy a house. Write these goals down and make them specific and achievable. Then, track your progress. This could be as simple as a monthly check-in with yourself or using an app to keep tabs on your spending and savings. You're more likely to stay on track by monitoring your progress, like having a personal trainer for your wallet. Take the story of the Johnson family, who found themselves buried in debt. They decided to embrace budgeting as their financial lifeline. By tracking every penny, they identified unnecessary expenses and redirected that money toward paying off their debt. It wasn't easy, but their commitment led them to achieve a debt-free status within 5 years. Or consider Emily, a young professional who realized that understanding her credit score was critical to her dream of owning a home. She learned how to use her credit cards and loans strategically, boosting her score and securing a mortgage with favorable terms. These stories highlight how financial literacy can transform lives. Financial literacy is like a toolbox for life, with tools that help you navigate the sometimes chaotic world of money. It empowers you to make informed choices, reduces stress, and increases your chances of financial success. By building a solid foundation with budgeting, understanding credit, and creating a financial plan, you're setting yourself up for a brighter financial future. Next, we'll explore how understanding financial psychology can further enhance your financial journey by delving into the intricacies of emotional spending and investment strategies. Stay tuned! Overcoming emotional spending. Once upon a time, a shiny pair of shoes called my wife's name from the store window in a land not too far away. They sparkled under the fluorescent lights like a beacon of hope, promising to fill every void she didn't know existed. Her heart raced, and before she knew it, her credit card was swiped, and those shoes were hers. But as she walked out of the store, a cloud of buyer's remorse followed her home, reminding her that those fabulous shoes weren't the solution to her stress-induced retail therapy session. As it turns out, emotional spending is like a temporary high that leaves you questioning your life choices once the buzz wears off. Understanding emotional spending is like peeling an onion, layer by layer, tear by tear. Emotional spending is when our hearts, rather than our heads, take the wheel during a shopping spree. It's the spending that happens when you feel down, anxious, or even celebratory. Suddenly, your urge to buy that unnecessary item feels as pressing as your need for air, a behavior deeply rooted in our psyche. According to Psychology Today, emotional spending often stems from immediate emotional triggers rather than rational needs, leading to purchases that can result in long-term financial strain. It's that moment when a stressful day at work ends with a splurge on luxury items to boost self-esteem, or when a bout of loneliness sees you filling an online cart with things you don't truly need. So, what are these emotional triggers, you ask? Well, let's start with stress. Picture this: deadlines are looming, your email inbox is overflowing, and your boss added another task to your endless to-do list. You find yourself browsing online stores, clicking add to cart as if it's a form of meditation. Shopping becomes a distraction, a way to escape the chaos, even for a moment. Then there's boredom, which can be just as dangerous. You're lounging on your couch on a lazy Sunday afternoon, and suddenly, scrolling through shopping apps seems like the perfect pastime. Before you know it, you've purchased a new kitchen gadget you'll probably never use, but at least it's shiny. Loneliness also plays a part, whispering that a new jacket will hug you better than any friend. These emotions, while universal, can lead us down a path of impulse purchases that our future selves might not thank us for. Recognizing these emotional triggers is the first step to taming the spending beast. It's time to put on your detective hat and investigate your habits. Start by keeping a spending diary. Jot down every purchase you make and how you felt then. Over time, patterns emerge, like how every stressful meeting results in an online shopping spree. These insights can be powerful, revealing the connection between your emotions and your wallet. Reflection exercises can also help bridge the gap between feelings and financial decisions. Ask yourself, why did I buy that latte? Was it for the caffeine kick, or was I looking for a quick pick-me-up? These exercises prompt you to pause and reflect, turning mindless purchases into mindful ones. Thankfully, we live in a digital age where technology can lend a helping hand. There are mobile apps designed to track your spending patterns, alerting you when you're on the brink of an emotional splurge. Apps like Enab, You Need a Budget, can help you stay on top of your finances by categorizing expenses and offering insights into your spending behavior. It's like having a financial coach in your pocket, nudging you toward better choices. Journaling prompts can also be a game changer. Set aside a few minutes daily to write about your financial goals and the emotions tied to your purchases. Ask yourself, what am I truly feeling when I shop, or how can I reward myself in non-monetary ways? Interactive element, emotional spending reflection exercise. Try this quick exercise to get a handle on your emotional spending. Grab a notebook and divide a page into two columns. On the left, list your recent purchases. On the right, write down your emotions before buying each item. Can you spot a pattern? Use this insight to become more aware of your emotional triggers and plan alternative ways to address them, like calling a friend or going for a walk instead of heading to the checkout page. Armed with these tools, you can face your emotional spending habits head-on. Remember, understanding the emotional triggers behind your purchases is like peeling back the layers of an onion. It might be tear-inducing initially, but ultimately, it leads to clarity and better financial health. Mindful spending, strategies for emotional control. Imagine this, you're standing in front of the checkout counter, your heart racing as you clutch an item you didn't plan to buy. We've all been there, swept away by the thrill of the purchase. But what if you could pause, take a breath, and ask yourself, do I need this? Enter the world of mindful spending, where intentionality takes center stage. It's about aligning your financial decisions with your core values rather than succumbing to fleeting impulses. This approach benefits your wallet and brings peace to your mind as you navigate spending with clarity and purpose. Mindful spending is more than a buzzword, it's a lifestyle shift. Picture your spending habits as a reflection of what truly matters to you. It could be investing in experiences rather than things or supporting ethical brands that align with your values. Spending intentionally creates a financial roadmap that mirrors your beliefs, leading to greater satisfaction and less post-purchase regret. It's like Marie Kondo-ing your finances, keeping only what sparks joy and serves a purpose. This conscious approach can transform spending from a mindless activity into a deliberate expression of self-awareness. Now, let's dive into some practical techniques for cultivating mindfulness in spending. Please start with the 24-hour rule. Before making a big purchase, give yourself a whole day to mull it over. This pause allows the initial excitement to settle, giving your rational mind a chance to weigh in. You might find that the urge to buy fades, saving you from impulse-driven decisions. Practicing gratitude is another powerful tool. By focusing on what you already have, you shift your mindset from scarcity to abundance, reducing the desire to acquire more. It's like having a gratitude journal for your wallet, reminding you of the wealth in your life that money can't buy. Meditation can also enhance focus on financial goals. Taking a few minutes each day to meditate helps clear your mind, making it easier to resist the siren call of consumerism. When your mind is calm and centered, you're less likely to reach for your credit card in emotional turbulence. Consider incorporating visualization techniques where you imagine yourself achieving long-term financial success. This mental imagery boosts motivation, keeping you aligned with your bigger picture and preventing short-term distractions from derailing your progress. Developing healthy spending habits is the next step in this mindful journey. It's about making thoughtful consumption a habit rather than an exception. Start by creating a budget that includes room for discretionary spending. This way, you can indulge occasionally without guilt, knowing it's part of your financial plan. Set personal spending limits and rewards, like an economic game where you earn points for sticking to your plan. You could reward yourself with a small treat after meeting a savings goal, reinforcing positive behavior. It's about finding balance, enjoying life while securing your financial future. Real-life stories illustrate the transformative power of mindful spending. Take the tale of a student who found themselves spiraling into an online shopping addiction. Recognizing the problem, they started implementing mindfulness practices, like tracking their emotions before purchasing. Over time, they regained control, redirecting their spending towards things like education and personal growth. Then there's the couple who achieved financial harmony through mindful spending. They began openly communicating their values and priorities, aligning their financial decisions with shared goals. This approach improved their financial health and strengthened their relationship as they learned to navigate money matters with empathy and understanding. As you embrace mindful spending, remember that it's a journey, not a destination. It's about progress, not perfection, and every small step counts. By bringing awareness to your spending habits, you're not just saving money, you're enriching your life by focusing on what truly matters. So next time an impulse buy tempts you, take a moment to pause, reflect, and decide with intention. Your future self will thank you. In the next chapter, we'll explore how developing financial discipline can further enhance your ability to make sound financial decisions, setting the stage for long-term success.